I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
It is my rule and guide.
To my daily living.
I will read it. And I will use it. That I might gain wisdom. Through my obedience. To His commands. Which will lead me. To eternal life. With Him. And one of these days I'll see Stan again. Right? He was our friend and our brother. Those of you who were members at Chapel of the Lake know Stan. You probably know his mom better than you do him. Because she was always the one to come to me at church and ask me questions about what I preached about. Good Christian lady. Good Christian family. And you know, that's what we're trying to look at this morning, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, in verse number 4. I want us all to look at this that we might recognize some things about ourselves. Chapter 11, verse 4, Hebrews says, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Now, you know, in our Bibles, Cain slew Abel in the first book of the Bible. But yet here we are in Hebrews, and it's going to teach us a lesson. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask you, Lord, just to reach down and bless our hearts now at this time that we come together in your word, that we might learn and understand the things that you have for us. That we might know, Lord, that there is a lesson to be learned in the beginning of faith. So I ask you, Lord, to be with us now and be with me, Lord, as I bring the words that you gave me, that I might be the instrument that you would use this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You notice the truth that's revealed in Abel's personal testimony. Because we saw him, the way he planted, the way he reaped, the way he prayed, the way he lived. We notice that Abel was a true man of God because his salvation was based upon an acceptable sacrifice. An acceptable sacrifice. Now, y'all are going to say, now what does this mean? Because he lived before we were given the commandments by God on what to do. That's true. You know, we understand that Cain and Abel were the children of Adam and Eve. And because of that, they did not have a Bible to read. Because there hadn't been one written. But we do know that the acts of Abel were the acts of a Christian man. He prayed. He believed. He trusted the God that his parents knew. And we can learn a lesson from that on how to be an acceptable sacrifice for God. You see, his salvation was based upon his sacrifice that he prayed every morning, that he prayed that God would bless his crops, that he would pray that God accepted his sacrifice that he gave to him. And he did that not just for the blessings, because as a man of God, that's what he was supposed to do. You see, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. You know, an excellent sacrifice could be a more full and perfect. You know, it could be described in many ways. It could be a more full sacrifice. By that, He gathered 10 bushels of wheat and he sacrificed one. That could be. Don't know. I wasn't there. I know I'm old, but I'm not that old. It could be the sacrifice of giving what God had blessed him with to help the people of God. I don't know. It doesn't say. But an acceptable and excellent sacrifice can be a full sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice. Because you see, God's the one that made the garden grow. God's the one that watered it. God made the dirt that it was planted in. It was all from God. But from what was received from that, Cain gave back to God. Okay? And that's what makes a full and perfect sacrifice. But there was also something else, you see, that Abel did that also made his sacrifice more acceptable. He also made confession to God each day, that he might begin every new day as a new day, not with what happened yesterday, but today's a new day. Lord, forgive me for yesterday, because I prayed that when I went to bed. Lord, forgive me my sins today. And you awake to a new day, a whole new day, and that day can also be an acceptable sacrifice to God because you live in the way He would expect you to live. You live according to the Bible. I got to tell you, I often think about Adam and Eve when God was walking through the garden looking for them. At least Adam spoke out and said, "Here am I." I'd be afraid to speak because I did exactly opposite of what God told me to do. And so I would be afraid to speak. You know, oh, he's going to find me, going to stomp me like a grape. But no, that's not what happened, was it? I mean, they did get punishment. But did God kill them? No. Could he? Yeah. But he didn't. That was an example to us of we ourselves are an acceptable sacrifice for God because He loves us enough to know we're living in a sinful world, in a sinful body, and I can't do everything right. Can you? I don't know of anybody in this room that's ever done everything perfect. And I don't think there's ever going to be anybody on this earth anymore that'll do everything perfect. Amen. It's going to burn and be gone before that happens. So we have to realize that sometimes our way of life is an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord because we're giving to Him the things He wants us to give. You see, His service, the services that Abel did were based upon his acquired gifts. And by gifts, I'm talking about his gift of a garden that produced all that was needed. The gift of, well, here, let me give you 20 bushels of beans. Or let me give you barley that you can grind up. Let me give you grain. So he had been blessed from the Lord, and he used that blessing to bless others. And that's what we're to do. If I receive a blessing from God, I need to share that blessing. God loves me. I need to share that love. God corrects me, and I need it. God is a loving God. We need to share that love with others. So you see, his service was based on acquired gifts. You know, God's grace, is that a gift?
Yes.
God's grace is a gift. Amen. So folks, if y'all don't know it, you're blessed by grace. God's gift to us also was forgiveness of sin. And if you didn't know that, you're blessed by forgiveness. When you ask for forgiveness and God gives it, you are again the person that God wants you to be.
Amen.
But you still got to live in it. That means, Tom, I can't come and judge you anymore for the things that Vanessa tells me that you do. All
right?
Of course, she hadn't told me nothing, but I still wouldn't, you know. But, you know, I can't come and condemn someone for something that somebody else told me. You know why? It wasn't the other person's right to make a decision to judge, was it? So you see, God has given us so many blessings, so many gifts, that whether you think you've got anything to be thankful or not, you do. So we need to be thankful. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thankful that God gave us a voice to sing songs.
Amen.
Because singing songs gets your hearts ready to hear what God has to say.
That's right.
So that's what we as Christians need to do. And you see, Abel understood that he had to, that everything that he was based upon these acquired gifts that he had received from God. Well, we know that we have God's mercy. We have His grace. We have His forgiveness. And we have another life after this one to go live.
Amen.
Now, if that's not blessings, folks, what is? What is? It's too bad that we as Christians cannot show grace toward each other sometimes. It's too bad that we can't show mercy toward each other sometimes. Why is that? Because we live in this cruddy old world that we're in. We live in a world of sin. A world controlled by Satan. And there's too many people in this world that do things Satan's way instead of God's way.
Amen.
So we need to look at the things that we have received from God and realize that if we take those things that He's blessed us with and use them within you, you can be an acceptable sacrifice to God by the things that you do. Can be. You see, God testified in the Bible, when the Bible was written, God testified of the gifts that were given, didn't He? Jesus told us about the gifts that we had received from God. It's written all through the Old Testament, people that received these gifts from God. But you see, Abel's life was, his influence on the lives of others guaranteed that he received, or he was, it was guaranteed and assured legacy. Don't we now look at Abel as a slain Christian and the things that he did that were acceptable to God? Isn't that how we look at him? If it's not, you need to. Because his life was of God. And when he was slain because of his life in doing what God told him to do, he was a sacrifice that was given. But it was given to God, not to Cain. It was a sacrifice. Abel loved people. He helped people. And he knew what was acceptable to his God. We need to do the same thing.
Amen.
We need to live that life. You see, even in death, and this is what our scriptures say, even in death, Abel spoke. Abel spoke. If it's talked about in the New Testament about Abel, about the life that he lived, then he is a living testimony to God because he's still alive. He's with Jesus. So his life was a commandment from God to live a sacrificial life that you might inherit the kingdom of God. You know, I don't care what men say about me. It doesn't make any difference. It's what God thinks about me that matters.
Amen.
It's what God thinks about each one of us that matters. It's not about what I think of Billy or what I think of Thomas or what I think of Gary or what I think of Nola. Just had to throw that in there, Nola. It's not about that. It's when I look at people, I should look at them to see what are they doing in life? Are they doing the things of God? Are they doing the things of God? Or am I taking my time to judge them for the things that they do? That's not the way it works. What I need to be doing, Lord? Oh, I need to be living a sacrificial life. I need to be living the life that is commanded by the Bible. I need to be living the life that God looks at, that Jesus looks at, and says that is one of my children. And living that sacrificial life. So even in death, his legacy carried on, even to the book of Hebrews. And you go back and you look also where the Bible talks about, and in faith, and it talks about the people, the different men of the Bible. See, they're still a living testimony, even though many of them have been gone for 3,000, 4,000 years. They're still a testimony to us. So God longs for things. One of the things is that God longs to bless each of us. But He also longs to use each of us in a special way that's to Him. The thing He wants to use me for may not be the thing He uses you for. But He uses us all, He uses us all that we might live the acceptable life to Him, that He may be able to look to that child and say, that is my child. She is living a life for me that testifies of who I am. That's special.
Yep.
That's special. We ought to all long to hear God say that about us.
Amen.
We need to. He longs to bless us and to use us in the way that He prepared us for. We need to walk that same path that Abel did. Continue in what God has for me to do. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And if you want to kill me, brother, go ahead, kill me. Because then I'm going home. We need to know that it's not what I want. It's not what somebody else wants. It's what God wants that counts. It's what God has prepared us for that counts. And we want to continue on in that same method that He has set aside for us. Our journey of faith begins when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. When you accept Him, you begin a journey of faith. And I've got to tell you, that first year of walking is hard.
Amen.
It's hard because you get up Monday morning and Satan's going to tell you, Billy, I don't care what happened to you yesterday at church. Today's the same as it was Friday. You're still my child, and what you think happened didn't happen. That's what Satan's going to say. He's going to try to convince you that what you felt was not real. But I won't tell you, what you feel when you come to God will last forever until the day you die if you live what He tells you to do.
Amen.
If you live the life that has been set aside for you as a child of God. You know, His sacrifice paid the price for our sins. And by acceptance, it gains us access to the family of God. I got to tell y'all, it makes me feel so good to look out and know it's my brothers and sisters in here.
Amen.
We're family.
Amen.
We're family. Does that mean we don't get mad at each other? Nope, we do. Kids do that. No brother and sister do that. Does it mean that we got to be treated the way I want? No, you're going to be treated the way God wants.
That's right.
Because He's the one doing the treating. We're just following along.
Mm-hmm.
It means that when you have a need, I'm praying for you. When you have a need, I'm there. When you have a need, we'll be by your side. That's what it means to be brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
We're a family together in one accord.
That's right.
That's what we're supposed to be. That's what God created us to be. And we need to live the way God wants us to, not the way we want to.
Amen.
You know, His sacrifice paid for the price of our sins. And by our acceptance, we've gained that into the family. But Acts 4:2 tells us, being grieved that they have taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, then it is by God's blessing, His enablement, and His grace that we can serve Him. I believe that. Our situations as family are not all the same. You know, I don't live in a 9-story mansion in the middle of Van Zandt County. But neither do any of y'all. I may live in a little, you know, 5-room house, or I may have a house with 5 bedrooms. Doesn't make any difference, we're still family. It's not what I have on this world that counts, it's what I have after this world that counts. And that's where I need to be marching to. But we're here for each other. We're here for each other. When if Palmer and Cindy had a need, we'd be there as a church to help them in any way we could. Same thing with Jackie and Emily and Taylor and Garrett. You know, we're all here for each other in their times of need. And there's things going on. And I got to tell you, raising 2 kids at a time is a thing that's going on. I mean, if that don't wrinkle your brow, ain't nothing going to. Why? They're a handful. And most families today, both mom and dad have to work to provide for 2 children. Or 3 or 4.
Five.
Or 5. Or 9. You know, we have both of them have to work to provide. So it's hard when you get home from work and you've got to deal with those kids. But they're a gift from God. They're a gift that God has given. If you don't believe it right now, look at Tommy back there holding that grandbaby. If that ain't a big old smile that was on his face. Why is that? Because we love them. They're gifts from God. But we as a family have to live the way God wants us to, that we might receive and understand. You know, one of the things that's Belinda's favorite verse in the Bible, Philippians 4:13, where it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
I believe that. You know why? She taught me to believe that. She did. She taught me. That's why I'm saying, you know, God surely sometimes uses them women folk in your life.
Amen.
To bring you to a realization of what you're doing wrong.
That's right. You get beat too?
Yeah, I did. Big old stick. But, you know what? I've learned by what she's taught me. Like I've told y'all all along, I don't know everything. If I did, I'd be a scholar in some big university somewhere, and they still couldn't pay me enough money. Because I'm not here for the things of the world. I'm things for here after this world.
Amen.
And that's where our heart needs to be. As a mom, as a dad, as a brother, as a sister, as an uncle, as an aunt, as a grandparent. Our hearts need to be in the same place. See, as we win, as Christians, as we win others to Christ, and they are disciplined by God, we discover God's plan for our own service. God's plan for what He has for us to do. And we realize the secret of multiplying those blessings through what we do for God. So it's important. But how wonderful it is to know Jesus Christ as our Savior.
Amen.
How exciting it is that God has allowed us to know Him. How exciting it is to make Him known to others who have never heard. How exciting it is to make Him known to the children of the church. And see their little faces brighten up and smiles come on their face. That's why it's important for me to have kids time down here. It's not that I teach them, it's that they bless me.
Amen.
That's what it's about. I am blessed by what God has done for me. We discover God's plan for our service, and we discover the secret for multiplying our life and making it better than it is each day. The secret is we give it to God. We let God use us in whatever way He wants to. And this day is going to be better than yesterday. Because yesterday was better than the day before. It's what God does. He blesses us. So it's wonderful to know Him. And to know that He allows us to know Him. And then to influence those that we win to Jesus to do the same for someone else is a blessing. And notice again, and this again is in the book of Hebrews, but it's verse number 6 where it says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." I believe that in my God. I believe that's who He is. Because it's impossible for you or me or anybody else in this room to please God if we did not have faith in Him. Faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for us. Faith that God loved us. Faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Faith that He came to this earth. Faith that He died on the cross. Faith that He arose for me. Faith that He's open to everyone in this whole wide world if they'll just come to Him.
That's right.
Faith in knowing that He will do what He said He would do. You see, the one who draws near to God has to believe that God exists. If you don't believe He exists, how can you draw close to Him? I believe He exists because of the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me God loves me. The Bible tells me God loves you. And not only that, the Bible tells me that God wants us to serve Him with the same love, the same forgiveness, the same outreaching arms to anybody else. That we're to do the same thing. We are a family under God. So God rewards the people who try to find Him. So my statement to you this morning is that we have come this far from where you accepted to Jesus to where you are this morning. We have come by faith.
Amen.
We've only reached this point by faith So you see, the Bible is true where it says it truly is all about Him. It's all about Him and His love for us and His desire that we serve Him according to His love. So the love He has for me, I have for you. The faith that I have in Him, I have in you also, that you're going to live the life that God wants you to. Why is that? Because it's not my call. That's God's call. I just have the faith that you will. That you can. But this morning, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I ask this morning that you come. If you need to come for forgiveness, come as the music plays. If God is talking to you this morning and you need extra prayer, come and I'll pray with you. Or if you're looking for a church home this morning, I ask you to come that we might all be together in one accord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this message that you've given. I thank you, Father, for the words that you blessed me with, Father, and what you put on my heart. And I ask you, Lord, just to reach down now, Father, and let it be known to us if we need to come to you in prayer this morning. And if we do, Lord, I pray that we listen to what you say and do what we're told to do by you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.